What does Vanilla Ice have to do with cybersecurity? They told us to keep the afternoon session interesting. So I'm going to do this because I love this panel. I love this group of people. I mean, I'd like to be invited back next year. So Vanilla Ice, he actually laid it out in the hook. He said, if you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. So right then and there, he laid it out, corporate problem solving methodology. And he says, stop, collaborate, and listen. And for a lot of these social engineering, a lot of these phishing attacks, it's about speed. It's about haste. It's about making you move quickly, making your people feel like there's this sense of overriding urgency that they must act. They must do something. And so the way we tie Vanilla Ice to cybersecurity is we explain to people, take a beat. Listen to Vanilla Ice. Stop. Even if it's for a second, even if you're in a fast-paced environment. When we were prepping, Suzanne said, you know, my people are in call centers, right? They don't have an hour. They don't have days, but they have a beat. They have a Vanilla Ice second to stop and then collaborate. Find the people, find the manager on the floor, find somebody to say, this seems wrong. Find the people who can assist you and then listen to what they're telling you. Listen to the training you've been given. Listen to the resources that are at your disposal. And implement the guidance that the people you're collaborating with have given to you. If you have a phish alarm on your device, click it, right? Implement the tools that have been put into your environment to solve the problem in front of you. And a lot of times, when you give people permission to break the cycle of haste, the cycle of kind of fear that a lot of these attacks generate, that's all they need. That's all they need to begin to question kind of what's being asked of them as part of the attack. So that answers the age-old question of how can Vanilla Ice stop you from being the victim of a cyber attack?
It's a burning question. What do you try to accomplish with training, Wendy? You know, when you're training employees on how to respond to these issues, how to stop and think, what does that training look like? What sort of training tactics do you use to try to ingrain that?
So naturally, I try to be as foolish as possible, right? That is my first goal, is to be as foolish as possible. But realistically, I try to make it memorable, right? I do not want them to feel like they are just hearing static. And I think that goes to the white noise. And it has to actually apply and be relevant to their day-to-day life. And it can't be something that goes over their head, right? A lot of time, it's just not something they feel is relevant to what they're doing. So we try to tailor it. We're really leaning on micro trainings, these kind of smaller format, quick hit trainings with greater frequency and in across multiple channels. So you may have an LMS training, you may have live training, some form of newsletter, some sort of video, intranet, but multiple channels of engagement where people can kind of pick and choose. And there's always going to be some mandatory component to it, but we're trying to engage the employee across different channels and also making sure that managers and people that they engage with on a day-to-day basis are champions of these trainings as well. So we prepare, you know, a 5-minute meeting for a manager to incorporate into a session that they want to have. And if we have a near miss, right, you know, I look at EH&S, so health and safety programs, are programs that a lot of companies have done a really good job of embedding into their organizations. And so I look at those programs and say, okay, how have they been successful? What kind of talking toolkits do they have when there's a near miss or a situation that they want to highlight as, hey, here's something that almost happened. Let's learn from it. And you lift and shift that over into other aspects of compliance, be it data privacy, cyber, anti-corruption, because you want to cross-pollinate so that there's similar behaviors happening and your employees are essentially gaining the muscle memory from other areas of the business.
You know, Wendy, that's great. I was going to jump in real quick. We did some of the same things where we actually work with our safety team. When we think of safety in retail, you're thinking often of slip and falls or food safety. But they had some programs, like they had posters with QR codes that store team members could scan with their phones and have a pop-up and learn more. They did huddle ups. It's to your point, it's multi-channels, and you can leverage other departments to get creative and think outside the law department box.
Yeah. And Kate, this is like an auction. I saw you unmute. So I was definitely going to call on you if you had not spoken up on your own. So yeah, that's right. That's right. So Susan, I want to talk a little bit about the space that AT&T is in, where you've got, you know, lots of consumer data, you have call centers, you have retail operations. So there's a little bit different calculus in terms of, you know, customer responsiveness and balancing that with this mindset of collaborating and listen. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you balance that?
Yeah, we need to. And you know, the reality is every employee and you know, for any consumer business, every employee is a point of vulnerability. And businesses large as ours, with both the call centers and the retail stores, you know, we have tens of thousands of points of vulnerability. As you said, training each one of those points, there's only so many clever and unique ways we can tell them, don't give away your system credentials. You know, we've tried them all, you know, and the turnover of employees makes that challenging as well in those kinds of employee spaces. And the reality is that we could come close, not entirely, to probably ending consumer fraud and ending a lot of these ransomware attacks. But that would also probably end everybody's ability to access their own account. You know, if we right, you know, we could have 10-factor authentication, we could have 25-digit, you know, passcodes, but there is a balance, right? There simply is a balance between the security of the system and the reasonable access to accounts. And we have to balance those interests. And I think that it's interesting. I was sitting in, I was in a different CLE as a, just